Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh Design Conference call for the 15th day of October, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Order Out of Chaos. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prinhanda, Cumriambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and again, that's pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan is altogether with no spaces. We have several pages there I'll draw your attention to. The Daily Mail page is where we put links to current events information, prepper information, health information, etc., and news items, of course. The home page is where you find information about how to help us out with a donation if you feel so led. You will find quite a bit of information on the website, on the various pages, but if you want to contact me, there is a Contact Us page where you can put a note in there and send it, and I will get it. Remember the old adages, do not be afraid to fail, but do be afraid not to try. Remember that, folks. Be afraid not to try. The enemy automatically wins when you just lay down and you just give up. So never surrender and never give up. Richard Buckminster Fuller, of course, with his quote, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. Very similar to what the Bible says. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model, called the New World Order, obsolete. Remember? And he also said, when individuals join in a cooperative venture, the power generated far exceeds what they could have accomplished acting individually. It's the old saying, there is strength in numbers. And so when we get together in one accord, which is what the Bible says also, when we come together in one accord, we have great power. When we have a singular mindset, okay, how has the enemy created chaos out of order? Okay, now what they want to do is create order out of chaos, meaning the New World Order. But we had order before when Yahweh put we Caucasian Adamites here on this earth. He gave us the job to establish law and order. That's why it said it was void and confusion abounding and everything, because there already existed people in terra firma here on this earth that already existed when Adam showed up. Adam was sent here to bring order to the chaos of the world. Well, the Antichrists hate that because they relish chaos. They thrive in chaos. They make tremendous amounts of money in chaos. They enslave mankind during chaos. And so they want chaos. Their ultimate goal, of course, is that they will have order out of this chaos, only, again, it will be a demonic New World Order versus the Yahweh-ordained, Adamite-enforced order of Yahweh's law being taught and enforced on the earth. So this is the battle that the Dead Sea Scrolls talk about, the battle that we've talked about here on this program for many, many years. This is the great war between the children of light, which means children of reason, children of wisdom, children who understand our Creator and wish to live according to His rules, versus the children of darkness, who are the ignorant, the apathetic, the perverts that we see abounding in this day and age. So it's like the gates of hell have been opened up, and the demons in shoe leather have taken over. Okay, so they have movies like The Exorcist, and also they want you to think that, you know, the devil made me do it. It's all these demon spirits. Well, the demon spirits are evil people. Okay, you don't need to be sitting around worrying about asteroids coming through the firmament or comets or any of that nonsense. That's not going to happen. You don't need to sit around and worry about, well, do I need to call a priest to exorcise this demon spirit that possessed me? Well, the demon spirit that possessed you is your own tendency to do evil works. And you don't have enough intestinal fortitude and strength of character to resist. And so the demonic nature in man wins that battle, and you become the monsters that walk the streets today. And you see them everywhere, okay? Because I'm fielding phone calls and emails and texts on a daily basis by our people who are frustrated. In fact, I got a call from a young man out in Alabama. He's out there on a temporary assignment, and he was despondent over the fact that on Facebook, so many of his friends are chanting the Israeli, pro-Israeli line of bullshit and kill the Palestinians, and, you know, everybody's harming these poor Jews and blah, blah, blah. And he was very upset about that. However, I reminded him that there's a very large segment of this world that is waking up to what the Jews are up to and the New World Order, which is their creation. Now, in your circle of close friends, you may not find a whole lot of people, but then again, close friends and family may not be the ones who end up being in the corral with the sheep. They might be out in the field with the goats, and we all know what happens to the goats. Just because people are living across the street from you, or they're a coworker, or they're a family member, doesn't mean they automatically get to come into the kingdom. It's very, very clear in Scripture that Yahweh said, I will allow no thing that offends me into my kingdom, into the kingdom to come. Not the one that's here now. The one that's here now is ruled by evil. The Father is in control. This is his world. It is his plan, logos in the Greek language, which is where we get the word logic. So logos applies to both the written and the spoken word. Okay, obviously in ancient times it was more the spoken word because there weren't a lot of writing utensils and paper around. So it was the spoken word. And over years and over time they created paper like papyrus paper, etc. And they got better at devising inks that would last, etc., until the modern era when the ballpoint pen was invented, somewhere around the 1950s, I believe, early 1950s. And then since the ballpoint pen and high-quality paper has been around, obviously much more is written today. But that's a recent development. So when it says he spoke things into existence and he destroys evil with the breath of his mouth, it's talking about spoken words, words of wisdom, words of truth, words of compassion. And the Bible also talks about the fact that words have great power. Okay, when we breathe these words out of our mouths, they go out and they reverberate through the whole entire world to some degree. But the main thing is that when these words leave your mouth, they carry the power that you put behind them, whether it's to do great good or to do great evil. And that's why the scriptures refer to them as arrows. So when you speak words, it's like taking an arrow and putting it in your bow and pulling the drawstring back and letting it loose. When the words leave your mouth, you cannot pull them back. And when that arrow hits its target, it will make its mark. It will be felt, whether for great good or for great evil. That's why we are to guard what comes out of our mouths. I usually call it my filter. And Yahweh and my mom and dad worked together on me as a young man to engage my filter. Hold on just a second. and a frog in my throat. So engage a filter that before I speak, I put the words that were forming in my mouth through a series of filters to answer the question of whether or not it was true, whether it was beneficial, would it do harm to the person I'm saying it, what is my motive, etc., etc. And as you do this, you get better and better at it to where it's almost instantaneous. After you've done it for years, it's almost instantaneous that you run your words through these filters. Now, the interesting thing to me is how many people do not have filters, especially in this day and age when we have an epidemic of narcissism in this world. I just thought of it, Ella, you and I were talking about it, and it's called the Class B, I think it's called a Class B society. And that was put together by this young, I believe he's a professor, that just basically said the world today is full of people who are one of the personality disorders in what he calls the Class B society. In other words, borderline narcissists. So we have outright narcissists, borderline narcissists, then we have egomaniacs and all the rest of these different personality disorders, but they all revolve around the same thing, man believing himself to be God. So we go back to the Garden of Eden. Did not Yahweh say you can be as gods unto yourself? No, he didn't. He never gave us the right to be making new laws and to subvert his creation here on this earth, whether it's law or whether it's our vegetation, our people, our animals. We did not have the right to create new breeds, new varieties of tomatoes and carrots and new dogs and cats, and now even people of mixed race. We were never given the authority to do that. We were told here to keep the garden. If you look up the word keep, it comes from the Hebrew and the Greek. That means to maintain. Maintain that which is already in place, meaning Yahweh's law has been established. All of the trees that he wants in the garden are already here. All the races that he wants in the garden are already here. You, as mankind, do not have the right to create new varieties. Oh, but Dan, the ag department down at the local university says that if I mix this kind of wheat and this kind of wheat, I'll make more money. And don't tell me that isn't what happens, because I have relatives who are farmers, and that's exactly why they do what they do. Because some nitwit from the local university, and people are brainwashed to think just because they come from a university, they're smarter than the average bear, will come down and talk to them and say, oh, if you plant these hybrid seeds or these genetically modified seeds, you'll grow more or you'll get more weight, which means more money. That's why the cattle that are sent to market are bloated so that there's more weight on the hoof. Now, let me point something out. That only works for a while, because after a while, the market realizes that you're doing that, and so now the price gets dropped because they realize it's water weight on the hoof and not the weight of the meat. So that only works for the charlatans and the quacks that do it for the first 6 months to a year. After that, the market balances out because people are wise to the deception. Just as the world today, we find out years later of the deception that got us into wars. We have to remember, all war are bankers' wars. All of them. And how do you know that? Because you apply the rule of a proper investigation. The rule of proper investigation is qui bono. Who benefits? Qui bono. Well, who benefits from war? Bankers. They fund both sides in the conflict. When are people going to wake up? I've told all the people I know, don't go into military service today. Stay the hell out of the military. For number one, they're woke, so you're going to get propagandized into communism and transsexualism and homosexual tendencies, etc. You're going to get into all that because the military is, quote, woke today, which debases our military, by the way. So I've told everybody I know, including my own children and everybody else, stay the hell out of the military, even if you have to go to another land. Do not go into the military today. And the main reason I say that is not only are you going to be subjected to forced vaccination and forced indoctrination into these totally perverted doctrines, but you're going to be cannon fodder on the battlefield, fighting yet another Jewish banker war. And I'm telling you, Yahweh says, stay out. Stay out of the service of the military, because the people in the military are being used as victims. They're being used as billy clubs to enforce bankers' rules. And yeah, they're Jews. Jewish mandates around the world. And United States Marine Corps General Smedley Butler pointed this all out in the book that he wrote, War is a Racket. Okay, now a lot of people try to denigrate Smedley Butler, but at the time he was the highest decorated soldier in America. Okay, now does that mean he was a perfect man? No, of course not. That man does not walk the earth, the perfect man. The only one that did that was Yahshua, and that was a long time ago, and what did we do? We turned our back on him. So we don't even recognize perfection when it actually is here, do we? We don't stand behind and protect perfection when it's right in front of your face. So Smedley Butler, who spent a career as a United States Marine and rose to the rank of general, realized that he spent his entire career fighting wars for corporate America. Now, if back in that day it was true, it sure is hell true today. So again, order out of chaos is the desire of the New World Order, which is the Jew World Order, okay? And again, the Jews themselves admit this. Many of them have put things in writings or have spoken it in speeches and public addresses. This is not secret, certainly not anymore. But the propaganda is mind-numbing. Edward Bernays would be so proud, the Jew, Edward Bernays would be so proud of how well people have picked up the principles of propaganda and marketing that he put in his books, which, by the way, I have copies of if you need to read them. Okay? He wrote quite a few books on how to use propaganda and marketing. Remember, marketing and propaganda are identical. Okay? Think about that for a second. Political propaganda and marketing are identical. The principles behind the two of them are identical. The only difference is one is selling you an idea and the other one is selling you a product. But the principles to get you to buy either one of them are identical. And Edward Bernays, the Jew, who is a relative of Sigmund Freud, another fraudster Jew, wrote extensively about it in the early 1900s. Yes, long before Adolf Hitler and the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Okay, so the Jew propaganda is that Germans invented propaganda and used it to convince the world to hate Jews, which is, as usual, the exact opposite of the truth. Propaganda and marketing was invented by Jews to convince you that the Germans did things that they actually did not do. Just as we are being propagandized today to believe that the Arabs have done something that Jews actually have pulled off by their control of Italy and their control of the United States government and the world media, they pulled off another stunt where they're convincing you that Arabs pulled off this, quote, atrocity, when in fact it was Jews behind it all the way. It is more propaganda. It is more marketing to get you to finance yet another war and to die for them in yet another war. Ergo, why I tell people, stay the hell out of the military. If you're in the military, get out of it as fast as you can. What we need is local militia. Now you say, well, Dan, why in the hell would we want to form a local militia? Look at, we are the United States of America, and nobody in his right mind will attack us. Well, Leroy, you can keep on thinking that way if you want, but I'm going to ask you in about 6 months to a year, how did that work out for you? Because you're being set up for an internal insurrection. Okay? Communists like Biden and Trump and all the rest of them in Washington have been allowing enemy soldiers to come through this country. Oh, they call them immigrants and refugees, but again, remember, marketing and propaganda. Every time you see things like that, remember, Edward Bernays, the Jew, in his books on marketing and propaganda. Nothing in politics happens by accident, which is another Jew, Rockefeller, admitted that. Nothing in politics happens by accident, and you can take that to the bank. It doesn't. So when your borders are wide open to allow these unvetted, unvaccinated soldiers to flood into your land, do you actually believe that's an accident? You don't think they have a plan being played out here? Again, let me tell you, in the next 6 to 18 months, if you haven't become part of a local militia, shame on you. Now, it doesn't have to be out in the public. It doesn't have to be you have to wear a uniform, whatever. Militia can be anybody. Any group of men who have decided to take matters into their own hands to protect their loved ones. That's the number one job. To keep peace and order at the community level for both invaders and criminals, because both of them are a threat to you and your families. I sent out a notice today of a book that I just came across written by Paul Joseph Watson, and a lot of you people know who that is. But back in 2003, he wrote a book, Order Out of Chaos, Elite-Sponsored Terrorism and the New World Order. So again, this is nothing new. People have been trying to warn you about all this, and it just goes on and on and on because nobody has stepped up to do anything about it. Now, Yahweh has a different plan for order out of chaos, of course, and that is when we repent as a people and come back to Him in humility and offer our remorse and our repentance and beg His mercy upon us and recommit ourselves to living a life under His leadership and lead our lives according to His law and not man's law. Even in Scripture, in the New Parchments, Peter said, when it comes to a choice between man's law and God's law, you must choose God's law. Even William Blackstone, one of the greatest jurists to ever exist, said that any law created by any group of men, any legislative body, any law that they put together and put on paper that runs counter to God's law is no law at all. Okay? Let that sink in. William Blackstone, no matter what they put on paper, no matter who they say authorized it, no matter who they say approved it, no matter what statute or regulation they apply to it, if it runs counter to the law of God, it does not exist. It is fake. It is phony. And those enforcing it are doing so under the color of law. Therefore, they themselves are criminals. Again, let that sink in. Anybody enforcing ungodly dictates from bodies of legislatures or representing government entities, if they are enforcing ungodly edicts, they themselves are outlaws. They are no different than the criminal on the subway with a screwdriver or a pistol trying to hold you up or threaten your life. There is no difference. Just because they have a uniform or a badge or say they represent a government agency, they are criminals. Now, why is that important? Because under God's law, we as men and women, free men upon this land, his children upon this land, have a right to defend ourselves from criminals. That's a God-given light. It's called self-defense. That's a God-given right. Now, another thing you need to understand, a right, in order to be a right, means that it cannot be legislated away. Because if it can be legislated away from you, it's not a right. It's a privilege. Okay? So self-defense is a right. And anybody claiming that a piece of paper allows any group to take that away from you, they are criminals and operating under the color of law, which, by the way, is also an act of treason. So your right to defend yourselves from tyranny is a God-given right. Your right to be armed with any weapon that you choose is a God-given right. Okay? That's why when I was a boy, I remember seeing people driving around with rifles and shotguns, especially in pickup trucks. They used to have a rack. You could buy them online, not online, but down at the green stamp store or the hardware store. They sold racks to put in pickup trucks to where you could put two shotguns or rifles right there at the in the rear window of the pickup truck. And you would see people driving around, and obviously they had a rifle or a shotgun right there in the window. Nobody thought a thing about it. A farmer and his son out in the field carrying shotguns and rifles, nobody thought anything about it. In fact, children could bring weapons into the classroom for show and tell at the schoolhouse. There was no outbreak of crime or mass killings, or students killing each other. None of that existed back then. The Old West, especially in the time of Judge Roy Bean, the old Wild West used to have a saying, an armed society is a polite society. Let that sink in. An armed society is a polite society. Why? Why in the world, Dan, would you say such a thing? Because if you know your neighbors are armed, you're probably going to think twice before you trespass or try to vandalize or try to steal their property or try to rape their daughter or molest the wife of the house. You're going to think twice before you try that, knowing that the man of the house is armed and trained in the use of arms. However, when a society outlaws weaponry to the citizen, you are automatically categorized as a victim. And criminals look at you as a willing victim because you gave up your right to God-given self-defense. Makes perfect sense to me. So why do we have all this chaos today? Quite simply because you cease to be God's children upon the earth. Now, everybody points to the early 1900s when the Jews and the Federal Reserve took over our banking. They created the IRS, and that became a bulldog to browbeat and steal wealth. Of course, yeah, those are all true. However, you're whacking at the branches of the tree of evil, and you're ignoring the root. And the root, believe it or not, is not even the Jew. Because the Jew would have no power if you and I behaved ourselves according to the laws of God. Because the Jew gets you by vice. Look at the congressmen that have been compromised because they've been caught with prostitutes or young boys and girls. Okay? Men and women that obey God's law would never have that happen to them, would they? So the Jew loses out there. The Jew would lose out in bribery because a man and woman of God does the right thing regardless of financial gain. A man and woman of God would not accept any form of bribery to do something that was wrong. Just as Stonewall Jackson, the great general for the Confederacy during the Civil War, was quoted as saying, "Duty is ours, consequences belong to God." The first duty of a man and woman of God is to do what is right, regardless of financial gain, regardless of physical pain, regardless of threats and intimidation, which is how the government works today. Doing the right thing, first and foremost, is a sign of the children of the Most High. We cease to be His children. You know that, right? You know, my father, when I first started talking to my father about all the New World Order stuff and crap that was going on, he looked at me and he said, "Dan, nothing will change in this country until the grassroots changes. Government has no power. None. Unless the grassroots allow them to." In other words, people get as much tyranny as they accept. The power is in the people, not the government. Not even the Jews, because how do the Jews work? According to Scripture and according to their own model, they work by what? Deception. Remember, all warfare is deception. That comes out of a book entitled Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Sun Tzu and the Art of War. Which, by the way, The Art of War is mandatory reading at all military schools. And I'm not just talking about here in the United States. I'm talking around the world. The Art of War is mandatory reading. Why? Because it's common sense and the principles in it have been applied by militaries for a very long time. And one of the statements in there is that all war is by deception. Okay? So you're in a war right now, whether you know it or not, and the enemy is doing everything they can to deceive you about what's really going on. And the problem, again, is because Yahweh's people have turned their back on the truth. Why did Yahweh say, "I will send a great delusion upon the people"? Go ahead and read it. It's in your scripture. He sent it because they no longer loved the truth. I've watched it within my own lifetime, how the people, my fellow Caucasians here in America, went from truth tellers and people who insisted upon the truth to people who could care less about the truth, because it all became what puts more material or more money in my pocket. And don't tell me it didn't happen, because I grew up in the environment and I became a man in that environment. I saw it with my own eyes. So don't tell me it didn't happen. I saw it. All of you out there in my same age bracket, you know damn well what I'm talking about. That's what happened to us. And again, we point the fingers at the Jews. And again, they are culprits. They are guilty. There's no doubt about it. But ultimately, how do you blame them when we ourselves are not behaving ourselves? How do you blame them when they couldn't do a damn thing to us if we were obedient children to the Father? Okay, so that little bastard Jew could come up with a suitcase full of money and ask you to train your child to be a boy if she's a girl, or to betray your nation in the military, or to enforce draconian laws to the police department. He could come with a whole briefcase full of $1,000 bills, and you would not do what he asked you to do. So again, are they guilty? Absolutely they're guilty, but so are you and I. Yahweh gave us his law. He gave us his Holy Spirit to teach us if we ask for it. But here again, how many people actually look to the Father and pray to the Father for guidance on a daily basis? How many people do you know? How many people even talk in day-to-day conversation about Yahweh and his Holy Spirit and the will of the Father? How many people do you know personally who talk about things like that? Very few. Instead, they'll go in and plug their brain into that electronic toilet called a television, and they'll download all the garbage that the Jews are spewing through that device, and they'll believe it. Or they'll plug into that lying piece of shit behind the pulpit called a preacher, as the preacher is telling them all kind of nonsense, and that the Jews are God's chosen people and Christ was a Jew and other nonsense like that. They plug into that and they believe it. So much so they'll put poison in their body. So much so they'll eat shit food at the local grocery store, thinking, well, it must be okay because the FDA approved it. Really? Really? You see what I mean? The answer to the problem is in us. And that's a sad state of affairs, because so few recognize it. So few want to make the changes that are necessary. But the few that do reap the rewards, the blessings, both in this life and the one to come. And many of you listeners out there, you contact me all the time and tell me about what's happening in your life, and you know what I'm saying is true. Okay? For instance, intermittent fasting and eating organic food and being very careful where you get your food. Does it take work? Absolutely it takes work. It takes a certain amount of willpower, a certain desire to be healthy, a certain desire to be of a proper weight instead of these walking stomachs we've got out here today. All right? But what are the rewards for that? It's very similar to Scripture, okay? If you will do what it says, if you will apply yourself to the rules of proper eating and picking the proper foods, you will get the benefit of feeling much, much better, almost never being sick. The weight will just fall off your body. You don't need to go down and join a gym and lift weights and buy these expensive machines. It just happens naturally. Next thing you know, many months later, you're looking in the mirror and you're about 3 or 4 dress sizes or pants. Sizes of your pants have gone down considerably. Why? Because you're doing what Yahweh wanted you to do. You're putting proper fuel into the engine. And when you do that, you get the blessing. So you see what I'm saying? For those who are willing to walk the walk, you get the blessing. You get the blessing now, but you also get the blessing in the world to come because you were obedient. You get to hear those words that mean so much. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. You're not going to hear that if you're a disobedient, headstrong opposer to Yahweh's will upon the earth. You don't get that. Nothing that offends him will enter the kingdom. That's why I don't understand. Why do people resist God's law on the earth? Why is it we talk about electing somebody as if that's going to solve the problem? Why do we talk about, well, this form of government would be better than that form of government? You already have a government. The government is on the shoulders of who? Yeshua. Says so in your book. The people that came here and founded this nation believed that. They carried the book and they believed it and they lived the life according to it. The government was already established. The law has already been established. It's been established thousands of years ago. It's undebatable. And yet people talk about changing this or changing the candidates or changing the person in office as if that's going to fix the problem. You don't understand. You're the problem. You and I, in what we do day to day, we're the problem. For instance, they want us to go over there in the Middle East and fight Arabs and kill innocent men, women, and children. But if we all refuse, what are they going to do? I know I'm not going to do it. First of all, I'm too old. But even if I was a younger man, no, I wouldn't, under any circumstances. No, I wouldn't. I'm not going to fight your damn war. I'm not going to give up my weapons. I'm going to keep using cash. You make the difference. The reason the whole pandemic lie is still even being talked about is because people have acquiesced and gone along with the scamdemic. Doctors, nurses, news agencies, hospitals, the media. They all went along with it. Why? Because, first of all, they have no character, no integrity whatsoever, and they're whores. They will do whatever puts money in their pocket. We're a nation of whores. So the poor people in Gaza are being murdered, but they've been being murdered for 50 years, and nobody cared. Israel's been murdering Palestinians for a very long time. Joe Cortina, when I interviewed him, the Special Forces commander who wrote the book John 8:44, Exposing the Sons of Satan, he was over there. He was over there. And I've talked to other military men that have served in It's a Lie. They all told me the same thing. They are a dirty, disgusting, abominable people. And we're talking about their military people. Dirty and disgusting. And that they murder Palestinians, especially children, at will. In fact, I believe it was Joe that told me one time he was walking with an Israeli soldier and a Palestinian boy about 9 years old was walking by, and the Israeli leveled his rifle and was getting ready to shoot him, and Joe stood in front of him and said, "You're not going to shoot that boy." So the Israeli was ready to murder the Palestinian boy, and Joe stopped him. Now remember, this Palestinian boy was doing nothing, nothing at all. And it enraged Joe that he would shoot this boy in cold murder, cold-blooded murder. And yet they want you to believe that these monsters called kikes in Israel are somehow victims of some ragtag Hamas or some other intelligence agency-created group, that all of a sudden the world needs to go over and murder more Palestinians so that the Israelis can take over all of that area called It's a Lie today. And people are buying it, just like they buy the lie that Christ is a Jew. Really? So you're calling Christ the devil? Because Christ himself called Jews devils. Devils, serpents, vipers, deceivers, murderers, destroyers. Those are the words of Christ about Jews. And you want to throw him in with that crowd. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable to me. In this day and age, with so much information available, so many books and articles and tracts and videos, that people are as dumb as they are. Unbelievable. So are we being told the truth about what's going on in Gaza? Absolutely not. Not through any of the mainstream anyway. And besides that, the Monroe Doctrine that used to exist in the United States when we were a young nation, the Monroe Doctrine said, stay out of foreign entanglements for exactly this reason. It's a local affair. Let the local people handle it. If the Americans would stay the hell out of the way, the Arab world would handle the problem with Israel. It's our interference that keeps that little bastard nation alive to cause trouble in the Middle East. Middle East didn't have any trouble until the Zionist Jews showed up. And we, after World War II, well, actually, after World War I, we made the agreement for them to establish a nation in Palestine when it wasn't theirs to give to the Jews. That's a long story. However, so it's a nation that was built on deceit, lies, and corruption right from the get-go. But again, United States has allowed that travesty to continue for half a century. Just as the United States' involvement has kept communism alive. Have you ever thought about that? If it wasn't for us, here in good old USA, if it weren't for us, communism would have died the death it deserves over 60 years ago. Well, damn, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact the German army, the Italian army, and the Japanese army hated communism. Hated communism. Particularly the German army. The German army was dedicated to destroy communism. It wasn't dedicated to conquer the world. That's bullshit. They were dedicated to destroy communism. That's why the German SS that the Jew wants us to believe was a terrible, immoral group of men, when the facts are just the opposite, as usual. The German SS was a highly trained and very moral group of soldiers. So much so that men and women of other races came to Germany during World War II and volunteered into the German SS Corps. Well, Dan, why would they do that? Because these other people came from lands where Jewish communists had taken over and raped and murdered and pillaged. And so they, in mass, went into Germany and volunteered to fight with the Germans as long as they were going to kill and destroy communism. That's the truth of the matter. But how many people know that? How many people even care? They don't care because Jewish Hollywood has said that we should hate the Germans and the German SS. So as long as my Jewish movies and Jewish propaganda tell me that, well, Dan, why would I want to know anything other than that? Because after all, the Jews wouldn't lie to me, would they? They're God's chosen people. Well, they're chosen, all right. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 18 says what they're chosen for. Quite different than what the world thinks. So we've been lied to about Gaza, Palestine. We've been lied to about Ukraine. Again, a Jewish-run regime, thanks to the United States interference in 2014, and Jews from America saying they represented you and I when that couldn't be further from the truth. Victoria Nuland and John McKay and all the, or McCain and all these other Israeli firsters and Jews themselves went over there and overthrew the rightful government in the Ukraine and replaced it with Jewish perverts, and it's been a mess ever since. And they've been killing Russian people in the eastern part of Ukraine ever since then as well. Tens of thousands of innocent men, women, and children murdered by this Jewish cabal running the Ukraine, and yet Americans are flying Ukrainian flags. Now, remember, my second wife, was her family's from the Ukraine, so I have ties there. I have children who have Ukrainian blood in their veins. It's not just for that reason, but I have ties, so I'm very interested in what happens to the Ukraine. Plus, I'm a history buff. I studied what happened to the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians have been suffering under Jewish demagoguery for a very long time, just as the rest of Russia suffered under Jewish domination and pillaging and rape and murder. Alexander Solzhenitsyn very clearly spells out who the troublemakers were, but the average person in America is too freaking stupid and too apathetic to care. So we got Gaza going on because they desperately want World War III to start, because the banking system is near the edge to fall into the abyss. I hope people are listening to people like Gregory Manorino and other people who watch the market. We are right at the edge of the abyss. So we have Gaza, Ukraine. We have monetary problems, liquidity problems on a massive scale. And speaking of massive, we also have massive immigration. Actually, it's not immigration, it's invasion. We are being invaded. So is Canada. In fact, we've been invaded for over a decade because the governments are under Jewish control. And the Jews decided a long time ago, the white nations need to be subdued. Because it's the white man, the Adamic man, the man who is supposed to do the will of Yahweh God upon this earth, they are the ones that the Jew worries about. You don't think they worry about the Caribbean or South America or Latin America or Australia. Do you actually think they care? No, of course not, because those groups of people will never stop the Jew from taking over the world. Even the Indians and Chinese won't. Even though they have superior numbers, they will never organize to stop the Jew. It's the Caucasian Adamic man that threatens the Jew. And so we have a great big target on our back because we need to be subdued, especially the white man. That's why in my entire adult life, everything being done by government and industry is to suppress the white man and to elevate the non-whites and women. We called it affirmative action and other such euphemisms, but all it really was anti-white discrimination, especially anti-white male discrimination. Remember also, the very first casualty of any war is the truth. So people out there that are questioning what's going on, they're figuring this thing out. And praise Yahweh that the number of people doing that is actually growing quite a bit. Now, will it ever be the majority? No, of course not, because Yahweh told us that his kingdom will be occupied by a minority of people, a small number of people. Because you look at the white race, it's only a small number that have their heads screwed on right. You look at these other races, it's almost the same. There is a small number that get it, but the vast majority watch television, and I've said it for years, one of the key things to determine if you're going to try to straighten anybody out is whether or not they watch television. If they watch regular programming on television, there's pretty much no hope for them. They're lost. Their brains are mush. They don't know shit from shinola. They really don't. So just let them go. Because I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of casualties. We got all these foreigners here, these men of other races and all of military age. They're going to form bands and they're going to kill lots of people. Yeah, they are. And I'm not going to raise my rifle to protect any of them. I'll protect the people in my little community and the people that I know are true and my family. That's who I'll protect. But I'm not going to go out and fight to protect the zombies. No. They can kill as many of them as they want. It's when they come into the neighborhoods of the white race and other races who wish to bless Abraham, in other words, like the other races that fought with our German cousins in the SS, if they want to fight with me against the New World Order, they're welcome. They're welcome. And we'll fight together to destroy this Jewish-run New World Order. Absolutely. But am I going to leave my protected area to go fight for the zombies out there? No, I'm not. No, because they've been warned. And we've been warning on this program now for, 24 years now. 24 years. So the warning has gone out to Jacob Israel and to the rest of the world for a very long time. And yet there's still a lot of people that are happy to be propagandized and stupid and fed lie after lie after lie, including those going to the churches, which nobody in his right mind would attend a mainstream church today, just like nobody in his right mind would put a child in the public school system. Are you kidding me? That's child abuse. It's child abuse. Allowing children to have cell phones and tablets that are not supervised, that's child abuse. Allowing children to be abducted by child protective agencies is child abuse. I don't know what it's going to take to wake people up. I really don't. At this point in time, I'm pretty much sure that the ones that are going to wake up have already come to their senses. The rest of the people, I'm not so sure about. Anything to the contrary of that, of course, I'll be glad to report. And as we get any more news about this final third world war that they're trying desperately to get us into, we will broadcast that as well. But in the meantime, each and every one of us, our job remains the same on every day. We have the same marching orders, and that's to live according to Yahweh and his law, to represent truth, honesty, integrity, justice, prosperity. That's what we were put here for, to walk and talk like our Adamic ancestors, to keep the garden. This is an epic battle that we're in right now. This is the final one for all the marbles. So we, his sons and daughters, have to stand strong. We have to stay the course. And you are going to be other people's touchstones. You're going to be the grounding rod that other people reach out to for sanity and wisdom. And if you don't think you are, well, then you're mistaken, because that is going to happen. If you understand what's going on, if you understand who you are and you understand God's law, then you are head and shoulders above the average person. And so, as things fall apart, they're going to be looking for those that, yes, they ridiculed us for many years, but many of them now realize that we were the ones who were on the mark while they were partying and enjoying the Jewish run decimation of our world. And now it's time to pay the piper. Now it's time for the markers to be called in for all of that raucous behavior that our people have enjoyed for a very long time. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We just pray and pray and pray that you could reach through that mental block, that hard shell that our people have put mentally between you and them, to where they have no consciousness anymore. They have no sense of right and wrong. You have the power to bust through it. Father, we wish that you would. Find the good hearts and souls of men and women out there and bring them around. Bring them to a sensibility. And also give them the strength of courage, discernment, and a desire to make this world a better world and not just watch it disappear, watch it go up in flames. It's going to start out small, we understand that, but it's going to become a raging fire at some point. And we, your sons and daughters, will play a part in that. Obadiah, Ezekiel, and others have told us so. And so has Malachi. We just pray again that you would watch over us, Father, as we try to do your will upon this earth. We have many, many enemies out there right now. And more than ever, we need you to walk with us and guide us, and your holy angels to stand around us. Because you are the only source of refuge in this sick, demented world in which we live. You're the source of power and righteousness, the source of defense and strength and justice for the innocent and the widows and orphans, as you told us in Scripture. To that end, we ask that you walk with us, guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And as always, we ask for protection against our enemies, and we ask in Yahweh's precious name, hallelujah.